Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until He has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust from the heaven. It shall come down on you until you are destroyed. Turn now to the New Covenant reading, which is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, returning to the 6th chapter at the 9th verse, which is found in the Pew Bibles at page 1031. We read Jesus' words, "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Father, once again, with the psalmist, we ask that you would deal bountifully with your servants, that we may live and keep your word. Open our eyes that we may see wondrous things from your law. Like the Greeks who came to Philip, we would see Jesus. As we consider your word, enable us to see him and his work, transforming us that we might honor you in all our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last year we began to look at what Jesus has to say in Matthew 6 concerning how we're to pray according to the Lord's Prayer, the model that Jesus sets forth to teach us the pattern of prayer. This morning we looked at the third petition in the Lord's Prayer, and this evening we continue our study with the fourth petition. Jesus addresses attitudes in this passage, part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus wants your mind and heart to be involved in what you pray. Your view of God controls your prayer. If you follow the pattern of the Lord's model prayer, you begin with an awareness that you approach the holy God of heaven, who is also your Father. Then you proceed to pray that the King of all the earth would come in all his power. And next, you pray that his will would be done. We come now to the second half of the Lord's Prayer. Looking at the structure of the whole model prayer, we notice that the first half of the prayer is concerned with God's glory. The first three petitions express our concern for God's glory in relation to his name, his rule, and his will. But now, with the fourth petition, we turn to our needs. Jesus commands you to pray to the Father, give us this day our daily bread. The Lord Jesus wants you to pray to the Father, to pray that the Father would give us our daily bread. Do you do that? How do you do that? What does that prayer mean? What are you asking when you pray that God would give us our daily bread? Our concern is for bread. But what is this bread? Well, first, it's our bread. We see a change with this petition. We've been saying, your name, your kingdom, and your will. But now we say our bread. We've switched. Now we're talking about what is ours. Our bread is in view. But it's also our daily bread. Our bread for the coming day. Or our bread for the present day. It's our bread for the immediate future. What we need right now. That bread. You're not to worry about food. As Jesus warns in verses 31 to 34 of this very chapter, where he says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Just today. So you pray for the bread for the day that is upon us. It's our daily bread, today's bread, that is your concern. But again, what kind of bread are we talking about here? We see the word bread all through the Bible. It's a rich image. Bread, food, eating, all are important in the Bible beyond just filling our stomachs. For instance, you read in Genesis 1, the first chapter of the Bible, that God created Adam and He provided for Adam all of Adam's needs. And He says so in verses 29 and 30 in terms of food, good things to eat. Then later on, when God brought His people out of slavery in Egypt, they spent 40 years wandering through the wilderness, but they never went hungry because God provided for them bread from heaven, manna. In both the temple and the tabernacle, the portable temple, there were to be 12 loaves of bread on the table, representing the presence of the Lord. The bread represented the presence of the Lord among His people for blessing, as He provided for them, as He cared for them and watched over them. Then you see that food and bread point us to the Word of God. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, Moses reminded the Israelites at the end of their time in the wilderness, God humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 to 3, refers to the Word of God as baby's milk. Hebrews 5, verses 12 and following, talks about the teaching of the Word of God, which is solid food. And John 4, verses 32 and 34, record Jesus' words that His food is to do the will of His Father. In the book of Acts, you read of the baking of bread, the loaf of the Lord's Supper, the bread which represents the body of the Lord Jesus given for His covenant people. Bread is a particularly fitting symbol for Jesus, the eternal Word, who referred to Himself as the bread of God and the bread of life. So Paul warns the Corinthians with these words, is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? The word bread is used in all these specific, special ways. But it's also used to mean bread of any kind. Just plain, ordinary bread. The kind you put peanut butter and jelly on. It can mean food in general. As it does, for instance, in 2 Corinthians 9, where Paul talks about the necessities of life. You need edible food and drinkable water. You need breathable air. You need habitable shelter and wearable clothing. Bread stands for all these things. Isn't it interesting that bread is one of the slang expressions for money? the mugger in the alley says, give me your dough. Bread in our culture comes to stand for all that money can buy. But you see why that's so. Bread is the staff of life. It is the staple food, the basic food, the food that is part of every meal. If necessary, it is the meal. In some cultures, to understand what Jesus is saying, you might have to pray for your daily rice or your daily beans or your daily tortilla. In another language or culture, Jesus might have called himself the potato of heaven, the pasta of life. If I can say that with all reverence. Because strange though it may sound to us, in some cultures and climates, the basic food is not bread, but potatoes or pasta or rice or beans. But in the Middle East, it's bread. God created man, both body and soul. He created our bodies and declared them good. So you're not afraid to ask God to take care of your physical needs. Bread here is a symbol for everything good and necessary for the preservation of this life, like food, good health, good sleep, good weather, house, home, husband or wife, children and parents, good government, and peace. You depend upon God for all those things. You should ask God for these things. But you should also note that it's bread, not steak and lobster. By bread, Jesus meant the necessities, not the luxuries of life. Jesus teaches that you're to be moderate in your desires and requests. Ask for bread, not luxuries. Bread is promised to us, not necessarily the trimmings, although God often gives the trimmings too. Pray like Agur prays in Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9, where he prays, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. What do you pray for? What are you looking for as bread? What do you do with it when you get it? Do you use it? For what purposes? Do you try to store it up so you won't have to gather any tomorrow, or so you won't have to worry about tomorrow? Do you find that your bread gets moldy and wormy like manna in the wilderness? Bread means whatever is necessary to sustain life. So what do you ask? You ask, give us our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. Jesus commands you to pray, our Father in heaven, give us our daily bread. Now get a hold on this fact. The Almighty God, the Lord of the universe, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, He is interested in everything about you, even the little details. Nothing is too small for him. Failure to mention your personal needs at all in prayer, when you think or say, I don't want to bother God with all those trivial things. That kind of attitude is as great an error as the attitude that allows those things to dominate our prayers, to come first in our prayers. They should come second, but they must come. Since God is our Father in heaven, and He loves us with a father's love. He's concerned for the total welfare of his children. And he wants you to bring your needs to him, trusting in faith with confidence. Give our daily bread to us. And that's us, not me. You pray for our daily bread. You don't just pray for yourself alone, but you pray for your neighbor too, especially those of the household of faith. So it's not give me, but give us our daily bread. The needs of believers all over the world are included in this prayer, because together we constitute one family, the household of faith. And according to Galatians 6, verse 10, we not only pray for one another, but as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now, how is God going to give you your daily bread? Well, first, he gives it by ordinary means. That is, by the ways in which he usually works. Things that you see around you all the time. We're inclined to think that God doesn't have anything to do with ordinary, common things. That's a mistake. We see them so often that we forget that God's intimately involved with those things. But he is. The ordinary ways in which we get our bread are the very things with which God is involved. Those are the means and methods by which he gives us our bread. So, to pray that God would give us our daily bread doesn't deny that most people have to earn their own living. It doesn't deny that farmers have to plow the fields, they have to sow the seed, and they have to reap to provide basic foods. It doesn't deny that we're commanded to feed the hungry ourselves. Rather, it's an expression of our dependence on God, who normally uses us and our labor to fulfill his purposes. Jesus teaches that total dependence should fill your heart. Because everyone, even the richest people, in order to have, consume, and enjoy food, are dependent upon the condition of soil, water, weather, and health of body. There's not one single person here this evening who could not tomorrow be penniless, without a crumb to eat, if God so desired. Most men need to work in order to earn their bread. But all men are dependent upon the general state of the economy, with all the factors involved in that, ecology, politics, and so on. We're all dependent upon the sovereign God who is in control of the universe in all its vast array and in its microscopic detail. To pray, give us our daily bread, means that you're willing to work. So we read in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 10 to 13, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. So God will give to us as he blesses our labor. We pray that he would give to us this day, today. Now, In Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, in Luke 11, verse 3, the emphasis is that God will give to us each day, day by day. He'll continue to give repeatedly. But here in Matthew, the idea is that each day you get what you need today. He'll give to you day by day, beginning today. He gives to us regularly, faithfully. He gives to us what we need as we need it by means of our labor. That's what you're praying. Do you look to God to give you your daily bread? How do you expect Him to do so? When do you expect Him to do so? He gives what we need by the ordinary means which He has commanded and which He blesses, and He gives what we need as we need it. But why do you pray for your daily bread? First, you pray as creatures, because as creatures you depend upon your Creator for your bread. So Jesus is teaching humility when He tells us to pray, "Give us." You see, although you've paid for your groceries with the money you've earned by working so hard for so many hours, you still have to accept that what's on the table is a gift from God, a product of grace. If God willed it, you'd have no daily bread. He could withhold the sun and its influence, or He could stop the rain. He could make the land absolutely barren so that the farmer, with all the modern equipment and all the new fertilizers and chemicals, all the modern methods, could not raise a crop. He could send a hail or a drought. He could blast the crop or make it wither if He wanted to. We are completely in the hand of God. And as modern men, we are no more foolish than when we think that because we've acquired a certain amount of knowledge of the laws of God, the way things work, we're independent of God. You cannot live for a day without Him. Your life, your very existence is dependent upon Him. You don't pray to inform God of your needs, or because He only gives you what you ask for. He already knows your needs, and He certainly gives to us even when we don't ask. As a matter of fact, do you ask for your daily bread each day, or do you just routinely say grace? We pray because God wants us to express our needs and dependence upon Him as children of their Father. And so we will recognize His goodness when we receive His blessings. That's what I asked for. God answered. Thank you, Father. To pray for our daily bread to be given to us implies that we'll be thankful when it is given. Furthermore, it seems that Jesus wants us to be conscious of a day-to-day dependence. We're not just dependent upon God in a general way, a way we don't see, but day by day. This is the prayer for the immediate future, not the far distant future, but today, this hour, this minute, the next second. Live one day at a time, depending on God. So Jesus teaches us to trust in the Heavenly Father who loves and cares for His children. He teaches us to have the childlike confidence expressed in Psalm 37, verse 25. I was young, and now I am old. And yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. You see, it's not making provision for the future that is condemned later in the chapter at verse 34. It's anxiety about the future, as if there were no Heavenly Father. We're to trust in our Heavenly Father, knowing that He will provide. The purpose in this petition is still the glory of God displayed in His providence, expressed in your trusting dependence on God in Christ. The glory of God expressed in your trusting dependence is undermined when you worry, chewing your nails, even mentally, while making your request of God, betrays a misplaced trust. Let me illustrate. Our dog, Valentine, those of you who were here this morning will remember Valentine. Valentine used to ask for his dog biscuits by going to the place where they were kept in a box and just looking at them. If he didn't get an immediate response, he'd start to anxiously look over at whoever was in the room to see if they were paying attention. And then he'd, yip. If that didn't work, he tried other things. For instance, he'd noticed that he sometimes got a biscuit after he came in from outside. So he'd go to the door and ask, you know, in his doggy way, ask to go outside. You'd let him outside. He didn't do anything out there, but turn around and come back in. As soon as he came in, he'd go right over to the dog biscuits. He had associated going out with getting biscuits. So he figured that ought to work. His mistake was in thinking that biscuits were a reward for going out. Now, are you like Valentine? Do you associate work or other things with getting your daily bread as a reward or your just desserts? Do you think of prayer itself as the way to get your daily bread? Have you fallen into the trap of trusting your prayer rather than trusting God? Is that why you worry about your daily bread even as you pray? But secondly, you pray for your daily bread not only as creatures, but also as sinners. We have to pray for our daily bread because as sinners, we don't deserve it. So we depend upon the mercy of God in order to obtain it. In Genesis 3, verses 17 through 19, we read that after Adam sinned, God cursed the ground, the soil, the crops. He cursed man's labor and said, it's not going to do what it used to do because of sin. In Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 24, which we read earlier, God says, basically, if you don't obey my commands, here are all the curses that are going to come upon you. And those curses are all in terms of our daily bread, as we've seen it, our regular daily needs. In Jeremiah 5, verse 25, the Lord says, your sins have deprived you of good. And by good, in the context, he means the rains in season and regular weeks of harvest. God is the source of every blessing. As James 1, verse 17 says, but because of our sin, we've given up any right to those blessings. So, in Jeremiah 5, verse 31, the Lord asks the question, what will you do in the end? Do you deny me? You disobey me? What will you do in the end? And Jesus answers that question in John 6 when he says, I am the bread of life. And I am the bread of heaven. So finally, you pray for your daily bread. Not only because you're creatures. Not only because you're sinners. But also because you are redeemed. Saved. Bought with a price. So you receive the promises of God which are fulfilled in Christ Jesus. So the curse is turned back. And instead of receiving curses, we receive blessings. We have been promised, as the redeemed people of God, that God will provide all that we need in Christ. Paul says in Philippians 3, verses 18 through 21, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And then your daily bread will be added to you. The Heidelberg Catechism says in the answer to question 125 that this petition means, be pleased to provide for all our bodily needs, that we may thereby acknowledge you to be the only fountain of all good, and that without your blessing, neither our care and labor nor your gifts can profit us, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in you. The Word of God is called bread or food because it points us to Jesus. To do the will of God is bread, because it is the way of faith by which you feed upon Jesus. He is your bread, and to ask that the Father give us each day our daily portion of Jesus is to ask that each day he renew our strength, our faith in him by which we live. Jesus was recognized by the two disciples on the road to Emmaus when he distributed the bread to them. It was so characteristic of him that he was recognized by it. Jesus is the bread of life, and you need him daily. Do you seek him daily? Do you expect the Father to give you tomorrow's benefits of Christ's work today? Do you think that you received today's benefits yesterday? What do you do with Jesus? Do you feed on him? Do you depend on him? Is he the main portion and sufficient portion of your life? Whenever you pray this prayer, you express your dependence upon God in every area of your lives. But God sustains us only because Jesus died for sinners. Otherwise, we'd have all been blasted away. There'd be no life. God distributes bread because he broke his son's body on the cross. And you pray only by faith in the Son, the Son which the Holy Spirit works in you. Pray that God would supply your every need for faith and life each day as you need it in Jesus. Give us this day our daily bread. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have supplied our every need in Christ, the bread of life. You have met our needs as creatures, as sinners, and as your redeemed people. We confess that we are without any resources on our own. And apart from your gracious and merciful providence, we would surely perish outright. We depend upon you for everything. Continue to supply all that we need day by day, increasing our faith in you and the Lord Jesus, and working thankful obedience in our hearts toward you, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Give us this day our daily bread. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.